Was the reformer Martin Luther innovating or in error when he added the word alone to Romans 3:28, for we hold that one is justified by faith alone, apart from works of the law? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. Journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Donna Harrison details her journey to confessional Lutheranism from Catholicism, Scientism, mysticism, and evangelicalism. The free online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red journal subscription button at issuesetc.org.
How'd that make you feel? Giving a child his freedom.
Felt good.
You have been at this for 12 years.
My country, 'tis of thee.
Why are you doing it?
Because God's children are not for sale.
It is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen.
We're Homeland Security. You know we can't go off rescuing Honduran kids in Colombia.
This job tears you to pieces. This is my one chance to put those pieces back together.
And yet somehow, you have failed to bring me one real-world lead.
It's over, Tim. Close up and come back home.
So you quit your job, and you go and rescue those kids.
Those are excerpts from the movie Sound of Freedom, a film that is, well, it's exceeding expectations at the box office. It didn't take much to make it. It was actually made some time ago and only released recently. Controversial subject matter, the trafficking of children, and mixed reviews. Some people say it is based upon conspiracy theories. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll review the movie Sound of Freedom with Pastor Ted Geese. Pastor Tom Baker will join us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the tabernacle in Exodus 25 and 40. And then we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, to the feeding of the 4,000, where we learn that Jesus is himself the bread of life. Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy will be our guest. Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
We're going to get into the controversy that surrounds this film in a moment, but first, to kind of lay the groundwork for that, what is this movie about?
The Internet Movie Database has a brief plot synopsis, and it's the incredible true story of a former government agent turned vigilante who embarks on a dangerous mission to rescue hundreds of children from sex traffickers. So that's the basic plot of it. So you could kind of put this movie into the category of like suspense, thriller, true story movie. It's about a real life guy, Tim Ballard, who was a guy who worked for the Homeland Security in anti-human trafficking area of things, particularly looking at stuff going online with sex traffickers related to child pornography. And then he gets kind of, at one point, somebody else he works with says to him, "We are busting guys here, but we're not saving any kids." So that kind of gets him on a bit of a different track for this kind of work, and the film kind of unfolds connected to some of that, like those questions that he's having connected to all of it. So it's based on a true story. You have that element. It's about a topic that's a very challenging topic, and that's really what the film is about. And it kind of follows his particular interactions with this one particular family where he wants to rescue this brother and sister, and then that gets him into rescuing a number of other children.
That gets us into the question of why this is being hailed by some and condemned as conspiracy-based by others. Talk about that.
There's a lot to unpack with this film. So if you're watching media, dear listener, or you're running across articles, you might come across things that are like, this is unfounded, or it's connected, it's being smeared with like certain kind of ideas, like something called QAnon, and some different, like, they'll say far right conspiracy theorists and things like that. So you'll run across that. You'll also run across other stuff that's very impassioned about the film and about everything. So it's hard to maybe navigate all of this. And one thing that I think that is really important with this film is to remember that this is a film that was made kind of as an independent film project under the film company Fox. And the director, Alejandro Monteverde, he made the film for about like $15 million. And it was kind of on, like, about to be released. But then Disney acquired Fox. And when Disney acquired Fox, it just kind of, they shelved a bunch of projects. And one of the projects that got shelved was this film. So it didn't actually end up coming out in theaters. It was finished, completely finished and ready to be released about 5 years ago. And then nothing for a number of years. When Disney acquired Fox, they also got all of the X-Men franchise stuff for Marvel. So that's why in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, you have Patrick Stewart reprising his role as Dr. X. They're able to start using stuff that previously belonged to Fox because they purchased it. What happened was that the people involved in this film ended up eventually purchasing the film back from Disney and releasing it on their own with the help of a company called Angel Studios. So part of this story is kind of like an independent film story. And why this becomes an even bigger kind of interesting thing with all of the rest of this is that it got released around the same time as the Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny film, which we talked about previously. And on top of all of that, on July 4th, which is potentially a big film-going day for American audiences in particular, it was the number one film, beating out Indiana Jones, which had people kind of sit up and take notice. Since then, it's been the number one film on July 10th and also on July 11th, and it's been consistently making money, and it's been either in the number one spot or like the 1, 2, or 3 spot from its release July 4th going up to July 16th. So, and you can see how even the number of theaters that it's playing in, it started in 2,634 theaters and it's been increasing. So now it's playing in 3,265 theaters. So clearly they see it as a profitable film. And like I said, you know, like it was made for $15 million and then shelved. It was purchased back. I have no idea how much it cost to purchase the film back. Disney could have just said, we're not selling the distribution rights to anybody. So as far as they're concerned, at least they were able to sell the distribution rights back to other companies or other interests. So there's no idea of how much it cost to purchase it back. If it's a $15 million movie, it would be in that ballpark maybe or less. And then, of course, there'd be the marketing and everything like that. But it has made, to date, $86 million back on an initial investment of $15 million. So it's a very profitable film in terms of how much was put in and how much is coming out of it. So that's also kind of part of the story of why people are interested in this film.
How would you describe its quality? It's a faith-based film, and often they suffer from poor production value.
Yeah, it's kind of a combination of things sometimes with these faith-based films or films that are categorized as faith-based. This film wouldn't necessarily, like if you went back into the 1980s, let's say, and this film came out, nobody would necessarily categorize this as faith-based. But for some reason now, if the film like mentions God, quotes a Bible passage, has a worldview that has overlap with what Christians believe, teach, and confess, then suddenly it's a faith-based film. And this company, Angel Studios, has released faith-based films and has been involved in things. They're one of the organizations that does The Chosen, and we'll talk maybe more about this company a little bit later. But it's categorized as that. So sometimes people find that there's kind of a two-pronged thing that happens with faith-based films. One is that the quality maybe isn't always there in terms of the acting, the directing, the cinematography, production value, things like that. The other thing is that they tend to try too hard. We talked about this movie Nefarious, and one of the things I could say in more retrospect about it is, and people love this film too, is that maybe it tried a little bit too hard in terms of its story. This film is sort of effortless in its delivery. It just kind of flows nicely. It's not really clobbering everybody over the head a lot. Maybe some of the stuff at the beginning is a little bit on the melodramatic side, but it's not overly so, and it serves the whole entire story. The cinematography is actually beautiful. The acting is very good. In fact, like the little kid actors that are in it, the brother and sister that I mentioned, these two actors are just really superb in terms of their delivery. So, and Jim Caviezel, who plays Tim Ballard in this, who people might know from The Passion of the Christ or from the TV show Person of Interest and other projects, he himself does a very good job. So this is not like, some people have trepidation going into a quote-unquote faith-based film thinking that the quality is not going to be good. The quality of the film is very good. The way it all unfolds, the story itself, the way that it's presented, this is a very, very accomplished, very good movie for $15 million. Sometimes people expect that if you spend $250 million, it's going to make just the very best of films. And those films sometimes have real deficiencies in terms of the script and storytelling and sometimes the acting and whatever else. They may have great computer-generated excitement, but this film is a very high-quality film.
Do you think part of the media criticism of the film is because it stars Jim Caviezel and he very famously was the lead in The Passion of the Christ, directed by Mel Gibson?
It's not just that. I mean, like, he came out with Mel Gibson to help promote this film. He's been doing a lot of interviews with Tim Ballard, the person that he is portraying. But the other thing is that Jim Caviezel himself has been talking about the topic matter of this and mentioning things like this QAnon stuff, and that like makes it more complicated. And the thing to remember is that, dear listener, if you've never heard of it or only basically, this is something that kind of came about after this film was written, produced, filmed, finished. QAnon doesn't get mentioned in this film. Anything to do with like Jeffrey Epstein or any of that kind of stuff, all of that stuff, that does not get mentioned in this film at all. So there's a lot of things that have happened in the last 5 years that I think probably facilitate this film. There are going to be people who will go see this film because the pump has been primed on the topic matter for the last 5 years in various ways, both positively and negatively within the culture in terms of how it's been characterized. But it's a very serious and important topic to look at, which is the topic of children in terms of trafficking, particularly even connected to like sex trafficking. And one of the things that they do a job of pointing out is that North America, particularly United States, is a high consumer of child sex trafficking or trafficking of children. And those are just kind of like general statistics that exist. It's a very important topic for the moment. And it's always an important topic, but particularly so at the moment. But the waters can get muddied pretty quickly depending on who's saying what and what they're saying about it. And I think that sometimes Jim Caviezel has said things that left progressive media doesn't want to look at. And some of those things may, the veracity of particular things may as of yet not be proven to be 100% true. That doesn't mean that the stuff going on isn't happening. So that's something that I think makes it a little complicated when it comes to Jim Caviezel and a little complicated when it comes to the reception of this film.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Sound of Freedom. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. There is, of course, in the background, Hollywood's reputation as well. We'll talk about that next. Is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies.
us what picture you see.
Was the reformer Martin Luther innovating or in error when he added the word alone to Romans 3:28, for we hold that one is justified by faith alone, apart from works of the law? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. Journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Donna Harrison details her journey to confessional Lutheranism from Catholicism, Scientism, mysticism, and evangelicalism. The free online Issues Etc. Journal. Just click the red journal subscription button at issuesetc.org.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
At Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia, you will hear God's Word faithfully preached every Sunday. We invite you to join our growing family of believers this week and every week for Education Hour beginning at 9 a.m., followed by Divine Worship at 10 a.m. For more information, find us on the web at oursavior-lcms.org. That's oursavior-lcms.org.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is your child struggling at school? Are you thinking about homeschooling? Would you like help knowing what to teach and how to teach it? The Simply Classical curriculum from Memoria Press provides an enriching, step-by-step classical Christian education for students who have autism, learning or behavioral difficulties, ADHD, and more. You'll find everything you need, including daily lesson plans to guide your way. Learn more at simplyclassical.com. Use LPR23 to save on your order. Simplyclassical.com.
If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University, Chicago.
Indeed, the quest for truth is at the core of a university's purpose. The liberal arts, illuminated by the revealed truths of Scripture, are powerful for equipping students for a life of self-governance. A disciple is one who follows the Master. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? He said that it means to take up one's cross. The cross is thus the symbol of dying for others, of dying to self for the sake of serving others. And a life of service is a life well lived.
Truth, Freedom, Vocation. Concordia University, Chicago. CUChicago.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing the movie Sound of Freedom with Pastor Ted Geese. Ted, we were talking about some of the controversy that surrounds this film because of its star, Jim Caviezel, but also in the background, of course, is Hollywood's own well-earned reputation for exploiting and grooming of children. You could just ask any former child star.
Okay, so in 1994, there was a film called Little Rascals. The actor Bug Hall, who played Alfalfa, he has recently come out and talked about how he was groomed and abused while that whole process of making these movies was happening as a little kid. Corey Feldman has come out and talked about Corey Haim having been abused on the set of David Seltzer's film Lucas from 1986. There was a Larry King live interview with Shirley Temple Black. She was the Shirley Temple from the Shirley Temple movies, about a meeting that she had with MGM executives, like her and her mother, back when she was like 12 years old. And this was like, it would be like the late 1930s or 1940, around that time, right? So they got separated, put into two different rooms, and they were both propositioned. And the way it worked out is that they, you can find video clip of her talking about that. Essentially, they said, well, we rebuffed all of that. And as a result, there was one film made with MGM, and then the contract was canceled. So there's a lot of this stuff. I mean, like Errol Flynn got, you know, caught up in some of these things. There's a history of all of this stuff. You even have things like in the late 70s, early 80s, Brooke Shields was in a film called Pretty Baby from like 1978. And then there was the film The Blue Lagoon from 1980. And then weirdly enough, like when that movie Pretty Baby came out, which was about a child prostitute and a photographer and whatever, that it got marketed in Playboy magazine. And Hugh Hefner, like he was the magnate who put together Playboy magazine, he was introduced to the work of Alfred Kinsey in college and said that he wanted to be Alfred Kinsey's pamphleteer. And Alfred Kinsey is a guy who just was part of that sexual revolution, who had like laid the groundwork for it and like blew everything open. So Hollywood has been connected with very unscrupulous people at different times. Of course, like this is not going to be everybody in Hollywood, but there are people connected to Hollywood where stuff's going on. And like there's a lot to dig into there. There's even like there's more stories and stuff. And it's not just children, but it's adults. It's, you know, young women, it's men, it's young men. Like, they're all kind of, at times, put in fairly dangerous situations. And like I was talking about with Shirley Temple, separating the mother and the father. And at the very beginning of this film, the way that they show how these children get trafficked, and there's this presentation where it's like, we're going to make you a star, and we're going to take photos, and we're going to, like, do all of this stuff, but it's all a sham, and instantly they're whisked away, but they're separated from their father, these two kids. And it's very distressing to see at the beginning of this film. And it's just kind of like pure evil. It's playing off of the desire to be a star and make it big and have that whole other kind of life. And that's being taken advantage of by people who take advantage. And there's so much of this. It's all over the place. Even something like the movie Pinocchio, the cartoon from 1940. You might remember, like, there's the character of the coachman, and he's talking to the fox and is the cat or whatever about, like, Pinocchio. And he says, how would you like to make some real money? And he says, I'm collecting stupid little boys, and I'm going to take them to Pleasure Island. And the fox says, but what about the law? Suppose they, and the coachman says, no. There's no risk. They never come back as boys. That is like super duper creepy. And it's in the 1940 Pinocchio. And essentially, the boys get turned into donkeys and put to work. So trafficking of children can be for various reasons, including like working in mines or different kinds of labor related work, not just of a sexual nature, but this is a film that kind of particularizes it. It's about he really narrows in on the story of like this brother and sister and the desire to save them. And as a result, saving some other children who are also being trafficked.
What would you say the worldview of this film is?
Well, this is a worldview that I would say that it's a pro-life film. So regardless of the age of people, you're not to view them as expendable or as some kind of resource that you can generate an income from. So the idea that, well, we're doing this for money, we're just going to kidnap these kids and put them into these horrible situations in order to make money off of them. As Christians, we're going to say, listen, we don't want to, regardless of age, even if somebody had like a terrible seniors complex where all of the people living there were just seen as dollar figures and everything was corner cutting and treating them all poorly, we would be against that too. And if you showed a movie that exposed that, that would be a pro-life film. I think that sometimes that idea of something being pro-life, it can be very narrow, like narrowly focused on euthanasia and also on abortion-related things. But you could expand the idea of a pro-life film, avoiding the abuse of people, regardless of age. And in this case, you know, these little kids are very vulnerable, and who's going to be able to help them? So at one point in the film, the central character, when he's involved in a situation with one of these pedophiles, he eventually, when he's got him, quotes Luke chapter 17 And it's also found in Mark and Matthew's Gospels. But it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. So the idea that it's kind of paraphrased, but that's in there. And also, you know, when they're having kind of a heart-to-heart, he's talking with somebody who's helping him. And the question is, well, why are you interested in helping these kids? And the answer is, God's children are not for sale. So, you know, there's a sense in which the worldview of this film is based off of God's word. There is something that is a little complicating in that, and we can maybe talk about that a little bit later.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. The movie Sound of Freedom is our topic. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues, Etc. Ancient and Modern Heresies is the theme of the August issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. It contains columns by Issues, Etc. guests Pastor Chris Roseborough on the Prosperity Gospel, Moralistic Therapeutic Deism with Dr. Joel Bierman, and Pastor Peter Burfind on Gnosticism. You can receive an annual print and digital subscription for less than $20. Learn more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine. On the other side, Pastor Geese's pastoral concerns.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
When you hear the word heresy, what do you think of? Do you think of some ancient debate the church has gotten over and forgotten? Do you think of some stubby old theologians just arguing over things that don't matter? There's a lot more to heresies than you might think. And that's what the August issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about. Heresies, ancient and modern. To pick up your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
You and your youth group are invited to the 2023 Higher Things Youth Conference, Beyond Reasonable Doubt, at Trinity University in San Antonio, Texas, from July 25th through the 28th. Come hear pastors Brian Wolfmuller and Chris Roseborough teach the youth of our church about doubt and apologetics, and give them the assurance that their faith is beyond reasonable doubt. Remaining space is limited. Register now and find more information at higherthings.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues, Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethlehem Lutheran, Altamont, Illinois; Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California; Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon; Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri; Peace Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri; Resurrection Lutheran, Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada; St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas; St. Paul Lutheran, Wildwood, Missouri; and Trinity Lutheran, Waterville, Minnesota. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues, Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We are reviewing the movie Sound of Freedom. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. Ted, what are some other of your pastoral concerns?
Essentially, it doesn't come up in the movie. It's not part of the film as presented. Tim Ballard, who it's based on, like the fellow himself, he's a Mormon. Also, like in real life, one of the backers for helping rescue a bunch of these kids was Glenn Beck. Angel Studios is a Mormon production company. So people can watch this film and they're going to go, this is a very Christian film. And in fact, some very progressive leaning individuals who maybe are writing against this film, who might have lauded and talked up that film Cuties that was on Netflix back in 2020, they would maybe look at the idea that this is a faith-based Christian film as being, you know, like a puritanical kind of a thing in the worst possible sense. I mean, the characterization of it, this should not be a left or right issue. It shouldn't be partisan in any particular way. Like, this is beyond all of that. This is a very serious thing. So it's just kind of hidden away in this that it isn't upfront that that's connected to all this. And does that mean that people should not see this film? It's a very important film. It's a very well-made film. I think that it's something that people should see. But there's pastoral concerns with it in a couple different ways. In one way, there's pastoral concern because, and this is the business side of all of it. It's like, you know, there's that phrase, you know, like, he who pays the piper calls the tune. So filmmakers and people involved in making films, they should also ask themselves, who is it that's offering the money? And maybe at first there's no pressure to include anything Mormon, let's say, or whatever. But if you're a Christian filmmaker, that's something maybe to keep in mind. Now, in this case, like, so Angel Studios, like, where does it all go with them? Like, I don't know. There is this history of Mormons for, in the last, I don't know, 20 years or so, wanting to be identified as Christian. Now, historically, that was never the case. That wasn't the original kind of way that they wanted to present themselves. They wanted to be the next step in Christianity, let's say. So, like, they're part of a kind of a Christian heresy, as it were, mingled in with a bunch of other kind of bizarre stuff. But should Christian filmmakers be cozied up to a Mormon production company that has money? This is just a question that people need to be asking, especially if they're involved in that world of making films. So, like, this kind of goes in the category of bad company ruins good morals kind of a thing that you find in 1 Corinthians, that St. Paul talks about. You find that also in the book of Proverbs. But now on the other side of that, though, you do get, like, what Jesus says in Mark chapter 9. So John says to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward." So not everybody involved in all of the work that Tim Ballard is doing that is presented in this film, they're not all Mormons. There's this kind of mixture of stuff. So all of that needs to be kind of held in tension. It's good to know about, but don't we want kids to be taken out of these situations and rescued? Of course we do. You find out along the way looking into this that Tony Robbins was putting money into helping rescue children. Well, Tony Robbins is a whole other, you know, he's one of these self-help gurus that gives personal affirmation seminars. It's like, that doesn't match up with Christianity either. And this is one of these things where it's like, everybody should have a vested interest in protecting children. Again, this loops back to that idea that this is kind of in the category of a pro-life film. It shouldn't be bipartisan. It shouldn't be a left-right thing or anything like that. It should just be something that everybody wants to do. So pastoral concerns would be just knowing a little bit more about the film, understanding what's going on with it, trying to find ways, if you're going to talk about this with people, try to find ways to, especially if they have very different views than you have, try to find ways to have this conversation that pulls everybody in on it and everybody can get behind this idea. Another general pastoral concern is that people seeing this film are going to have a lot of emotional response to it because it's a PG-13 film. It doesn't put in things that are graphic in nature, but it implies a lot of stuff and just the sheer evil of all of it. It'll make the person watching the film angry. And in some cases, it would be righteous anger. But just the whole topic matter is going to, for especially families with kids, grandparents with grandchildren, like everybody who goes and sees this is going to have a reaction to this film, and they're going to want to maybe help in some particular way. So then the question is, how can you even help this situation? So there's a way in which this film is also one that helps with, it gets the story of this out there, and maybe it doesn't show up on the 6 o'clock news, but it's going on, and this particularizes it in a particular dramatic way. But it's not just two kids being rescued. There's lots of children that need to be saved out of these kind of situations.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. You'll find a link to his movie reviews at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant in Exodus 25 and 40 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. Find out how your life story is interwoven with the life of Christ in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Life in Christ, Rooted, Woven, and Grafted into God's Story. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Life in Christ at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Life in Christ, Rooted, Woven, and Grafted into God's Story.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Our church loves and is grateful for those that serve our country. Operation Barnabas, part of Ministry to the Armed Forces, equips you to reach out to veterans in your community to bring Christ to those that served. Call Ministry to the Armed Forces at 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
God bless our military.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Lutheran Talk.
the cause of our salvation doesn't lie within us, but instead it lies outside of us, namely in the mercy of our God who sends his Son to live and die and rise again for us.
Lutheran music. Listen anytime, anywhere with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.